wisdom over her this morning, that her mouth will bring everything that you want her to say. Feed us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. I am so three out of the five songs that we sang this morning all confirm this word. And it's never enough. I watched another episode of The Chosen this week, and no, that's not an advertisement, it's just a statement. And I was so struck by a prayer sequence that took place at the Last Supper. And in that movie, it was portrayed by both the men at the Last Supper and by the women in a separate time and place. Now, remember that in those days, the women and the men were always separated at worship time. You know, they never sat together. But Jesus met with both sets equally, face to face and heart to heart. In the men's group, the prayer was all about the Exodus and the beginnings of the nation of Israel. Now, in actuality, though, that Jewish prayer was not written until about the 9th or 10th centuries after the Lord was crucified. But it came in response to the Catholic Church liturgy, where the priest makes a statement and then the congregation responds with a finishing line. That's a response. And most liturgical churches still have those kinds of prayers today. Lord bless us, Lord bless us. Lord heal us, that kind of thing. But this prayer portrays the gratitude of the people of God of Israel for all that he has done for them, going all the way back to the Exodus at the time of Moses. The first part of each line of this prayer is the giving of thanks for some miracle or other that God performed for his people during that time frame. And the second part is their declaration that nothing else was needed for them to worship him. It was meant to keep the traditions and the history of how God had rescued his people from slavery, and very appropriate for Jesus' Last Supper, Passover meal, as he was about to rescue all of mankind from themselves. And this is how this traditional prayer goes. Now, I've added a question to each of these statements for a reason, and you'll see why. Verse 1, if he had brought us out of Egypt and not carried out judgments against them, it would have been enough. But was it? Verse 2, if he had carried out judgments against them and not against their idols, it would have been enough. But was it? Verse 3, if he had destroyed their idols and not smitten their firstborn, it would have been enough. But was it? Verse 4, if he had smitten their firstborn and not given us their wealth, it would have been enough. But was it? Verse 5, if he had given us their wealth and had not split the sea for us, it would have been enough. But was it? If he had split the sea for us and not taken us through it on dry land, it would have been enough. But was it? Verse 7, if he had taken us through the sea on dry land and not drowned our oppressors in it, it would have been enough. But was it? Verse 8, if he had drowned our oppressors in the sea and not supplied our needs in the desert for 40 years, it would have been enough. But was it? Verse 9, if he had supplied our needs in the desert for 40 years and not fed us the manna, it would have been enough. But was it? If he had fed us the manna and not given us the Sabbath, it would have been enough. But was it? Verse 11, if he had given us the Sabbath and not brought us before Mount Sinai, it would have been enough. But was it? Verse 12, if he had brought us before Mount Sinai and had not given us the Torah or the law, it would have been enough. But was it? Verse 13, if he had given us the Torah, the law, and not brought us into the land of Israel, it would have been enough. But was it? And verse 14, if he had brought us into the land of Israel and not built for us the holy temple, it would have been enough. But was it? Pretty awesome declarations, right? And acknowledgement of both the power of God and his course of action on behalf of his chosen people. Now, those statements were all political, governmental, historic, monumental, all very masculine and robust acknowledgments of the concern of God for his people in a worldview all about out there. Now, in the women's group, it was all about the emotional responses that each one had experienced in personal relationship with Jesus that caused them to remake the traditional declaration and response to bring it into the heart of people. Their declarations were all about in here. Now, to give you a taster of what that looked like. Now, I don't have the words exactly right, but I'm going to give you a taster of what it felt like to me. And it starts with Mary, Jesus' mother, when she says, "If I only ever got to hold you close to my chest, wrapped in your swaddling clothes in that cold stable, and never got to see any of the signs and wonders that you've brought to us, it would have been enough." But was it? Mary Magdalene said, "If I only saw how much joy you brought to your mother, and you never freed me from my demons, it would have been enough." But was it? Peter's wife said, "If I only saw Mary freed from her demons and never saw my mama healed, it would have been enough." But was it? Well, the real answer, of course, is no, it wasn't enough. Even those were mighty reasons to worship the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the very beginning stages of the formation of the nation of Israel. And the women's responses were given because he had done very emotional and personal miracles for each one of them individually. Do you see the contrast here? The masculine formation of a nation and then the personal feminine formation of a spiritual love bond. But both sides of the same miracle. And that miracle is the sufficiency of God. The answer, of course, no, none of that was enough for God. There was more. There were more miracles, more prophecies, and of course, the ultimate more, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, Jesus himself. Now, the question for us, though, is enough? Enough what? Enough signs and wonders for us to believe him? Enough for us to know that he only has the best for us? Enough for us to leave behind all the things that don't matter or don't glorify his name? Now, I want you all to think back over your life. All the miracles of provision that you've received, the answered prayers, would each one have been enough? Or was there always one more that you craved or desired or needed or demanded? Is God enough? Is his love enough? Is his forgiveness enough? Is his spirit moving in your heart enough? Is his leading you enough? Is his presence here and now today enough? Is the knowledge that when all this stuff here on earth is done, that you will be forever in glory with him, is that enough? If you only ever heard one whisper of encouragement from the Lord for your entire life, would that have been enough for you to continue to serve him? Would you be able to live the rest of your life without hearing another word from him? If you only had access to one page of scripture that tells you of his mighty works, would that have been enough? If you only had one miracle of healing or provision or anything else in your life, would that have been enough? Now, I've told you all the story about the time when my 3-year-old son drank the gasoline, but he was spared from any kind of ill effects because I grabbed him up in my arms and I used the authority of the believer to pray over him. And Jesus immediately covered that situation with mercy and the kid never even got to hiccups. That would have been enough for me to serve the Lord for the rest of my days. And that was over 50 years ago. But I thank God that I have seen time after time after time more of his mercy and his grace. And each time it would have been enough to fill my soul with praise and gratitude. But each time that happens, it precedes another time and another and another. Well, I thank God that in His grace and mercy, there is always more. More of His desire to see to our benefit, to see to our provision, to see to our strength and our faith. Are the things that He has already done for us really enough? And another more important question, have we ever said, okay, Lord, that's enough now. I don't need any more. I've got enough. But what happens when we say that? Our hearts go hungry, our souls go thirsty, and our spirits go cold and weak. Well, then what more do we want? Do we want our ears tickled with fancy preaching or modern twisting of Scripture to make it less demanding and more permissive and accommodating? Do we only want the gospel to say, love your neighbor without saying, go and sin no more? What is enough then? Is it enough to just be good without being holy? Is it enough to be like the Hippocratic oath that doctors are supposed to take and do no harm? Or is there more? Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth, sent to preserve and to flavor the world with His word. He said we are the light of the world to show them the way to eternal glory with Him. Is there enough of His Spirit within us to even give one word to someone who will then say, if that was the only time I ever heard about Jesus, it would have been enough. Enough for them to turn to Him for mercy and love and acceptance and deliverance from old lifestyles and to be born anew from above. Is it enough? Well, what is enough then? There's a song from the movie The Greatest Showman, and it goes like this. All the shine of 1,000 spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough. Never be enough. Towers of gold are still too little. These hands could hold the world, but it'll never be enough. Never be enough. The world will never give us enough to fill our spirits, our souls, our longing for completion or for validation or for perfection. And for the Father, nothing of this world that causes us to falter will ever be enough for Him to stop pouring out more blessings than we could ever contain. Just like that blessing prayer from the beginning, He has one more, always one more blessing, one more provision, one more miracle, one more act of forgiveness, one more strengthening, one more encouragement, one more dream, one more revelation until the time that we say no more, I can't handle anymore. But the day that we reach that capacity is the day that we should begin to pray Isaiah 54, where it says, enlarge the place of your habitation. Meaning there is more coming. Get ready. Make room. Spread out. And do and watch what God can do. Remember in Malachi what the Lord says in chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to contain it. Now the tithe is not talking about money, although that is useful. No, tithing has more meaning than just 10% of our finances. It also means bringing at the very least that same portion of our time, our energy, our focus, our lifestyle, our attention, and or anything else that we can offer to the Lord. Enough? Who wants enough? Not me. I want more. I don't want just enough. I want more. I want to live in Ephesians chapter 3 where it says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. Anything that we can think or ask is too little, and it's not enough. It's not enough. Yes, all the things that God does for us on a daily basis should be enough for us to be grateful, to be thankful, to give Him praise and devotion, to have a humble heart of gratitude and acceptance. But do not forget that there is more with God, Always more. We do need to examine our motives, though, to see if that desire for more than enough is coming from a heart of greediness and pride, like the enemy that's spoken of in Isaiah 14, where God says, "For you, Lucifer, you've said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north.'" That comes from a heart of greediness. Do we come from a heart that is willing to submit to His mercy and accept each and everything that comes to us as a blessing, with the knowledge that it might just be the last one we receive? Will that be enough? Will it be enough to sustain us for the rest of our lives? Or from the teaching of Jesus on how to pray, where He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Well, what is that daily bread? Well, how about His answer to the deceiver in the wilderness when he was being tempted? Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4 says this, "But He answered and He said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" Well, where is that written? It's in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, where Moses is telling the Israelites, "And He humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna which you did not know, neither did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live." And who is the bread of life? Jesus, of course. And who is the Word of God? Jesus, that's right. And that takes us back to the very beginning. If that were the only things that the Hebrew had learned, it would have been enough. For the Word of God is enough, because it shows us the unending blessings, the relationship being offered, the miracles of provision, the authority that we can walk in, the purity of mind and body and soul that He Himself provides for us as we surrender everything to Jesus, who is the Word of God. God offers Himself to us, and that is enough. So what do you need from God? Right now, today, I want to take a few minutes, and I want everybody to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you need any of the following things. Nobody looking around, no one seeing but God. No one peeking at your vulnerability, no one judging, no one making assumptions. Just a safe place to say, "Yes, I need more of you, God. I don't have enough." Who needs mercy today? Who needs forgiveness today? Who needs provision today? Who needs compassion today? Who needs healing today? Who needs their hearts and spirits mended today? Who needs more strength to face the challenges in your life? Who needs more love? Who needs peace? Who needs a deeper awareness of the Father's presence? Who needs the Holy Spirit as comforter? Who needs wisdom? All of these things are available in abundance and more than enough. Enough for you and enough to share with the world outside of these walls. Father says, "Just ask and you will receive of me. Just seek and you will find more of me. Just knock and every door in the kingdom will be opened to you by my hand, and it will be enough. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Enough to bring you everlasting joy. Enough to bubble up from inside the wellspring of your heart and to keep your spirit refreshed and vibrant every day. Enough to carry you through one battle after another while you are still on this earth, until all the enemy is defeated and victory is yours. And it's enough for you to say at the end, I have run my race and I finished well. And enough for the Father God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And it will have been enough. But until that time, we need to be replenished often. We need to be feeding on the manna, the bread of life, often. We need to drink from the well of the water of life, often. We need to come into the light of the world daily. We need to come to the healer in our need. We need to come to the truth teller to gain our wisdom and understanding. Nothing of this earth will ever be enough. Only Jesus will be completely enough. Amen.